everybody, welcome back to Afros and Combos.
Hey, it's Kika.
Oh, I'm sorry. Drea here.
Hey, y'all, it's Camille.
And it's Cookie. As always, like and subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on social media at Afros and Combos on IG. Email us at afrosandcombos@gmail.com. Check out the website at afrosandcombos.com. How is everybody doing?
Cool.
Doing good.
Sound like you said cuckoo. Are you
insane? I realized that after I said it out of my mouth, I was like, the L ain't really hitting. So I'm cool. Cool. Oh,
okay. Well, I'm tired, but I'm here so I don't get fined. All right. Now it is time for Trending Convos. And I will be kicking things off. So
can I say something real quick?
Yes, public service announcement.
PSA, I would like to issue a retraction to the statement that I made in our last Trending Convos episode, where I made the comment that Praise Jorgensen did not believe that ASAP Rocky was, and I quote, beautiful. I was mistaken. I was recalling a conversation that Praise and I had with someone else, and the other individual did not believe that he was beautiful. So just let it be known to the masses. Praise believes that ASAP Rocky is beautiful. So Praise, you can stop texting me and calling me and sending me voice recordings and tagging me and stuff on Instagram. Everybody knows now you think ASAP is beautiful. Great. Okay. Awesome.
Wow.
Oh, but thank you for blessing us with the voice recordings and all of that, because Praise, Greg, you are hilarious.
Funny.
All right, well, I'm going to kick things off with a bit of serious news. I'm back, you know, with the serious side, you know. So we have a one Miss Viola Fletcher, who is a 107-year-old survivor of the Tulsa Race Massacre, which means she was 7. When the Tulsa Race Massacre occurred, because we are coming up on the 100th year anniversary of this tragic happening in America. Now, for those of you who don't know, the Tulsa Race Massacre occurred in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Okay.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it did. Essentially, what happened was there was a misunderstanding as to what happened to somebody elevator. And a black man got accused of assaulting a white girl, a white woman, and he got arrested. And because he got arrested and there was a white girl involved, the papers all went crazy about the man harassing the white girl. And so all the white folk was mad and they went up to the jailhouse trying to get to him. When they couldn't get to him, well, before that happened, the black folks went up there with their guns and such and said, go away from around here now. Leave him alone. Now, what happened after that, you know, the white folk didn't like the niggas coming and telling them to go away from here. So they stormed the black part of town, which was Greenwood, which was, you know, probably separated by some railroad tracks, I'm assuming, from the white part of town. And they went over. There was a booming community. We had, you know, shops, legal service. We got lawyers. We got hair salons, business, all kind of businesses, all kinds of everything going on. And it was a sustaining community in Greenwood, all of black people. The white folk came over and burned it down. Okay. And this would all happen. And nobody talked about it after it happened. Like, you could ask some people in Tulsa who were born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Like, actually, the current mayor of Tulsa, Oklahoma stated that he did not know about this race massacre until his adulthood. Like, he never learned about it, and he was born and raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So this was a completely hush-hush situation. Nobody talked about it. Well, Miss Viola Fletcher as I said, a 107-year-old survivor of the massacre went before Congress and testified and is advocating on behalf of reparations for the survivors and the survivors' descendants. She is one of three plaintiffs in a lawsuit suing the city of Tulsa, the state of Oklahoma, and some other entity, I think, that they're suing to receive reparations. All said, historians believe that this entire massacre killed as many as 300 Black people, left around 10,000 people homeless, and completely decimated the entire community of Greenwood. So, yeah, this is a very tragic situation. I know there's like a push for there to be, you know, at least during this 100-year anniversary, a lot of memorial type, not celebrations, but, you know, commemoration, that's probably a better word. Yeah, commemorations of what happened in Tulsa and other places as well. There's probably going to be tons of specials on TV so you can learn more information about what actually happened to the extent that you don't know. And it's not surprising that you don't know because it wasn't talked about. Yeah. So yeah, you know, yet another example of, you know, stories being erased. They're actually, and I think recently they found what they think is a mass grave in and around Tulsa area, around this area, that they believe has a lot of, you know, victims of the massacre. And wow. So it's a very tragic situation, and nothing has been done to compensate those who are descendants and the survivors, because there are still a few survivors. So, yeah.
Shout out to her. That's amazing that at 107 years old, you're still fighting for justice that is more so for, you know, your descendants and those for other people. Like, I can't imagine that's 100 years that you've been wrestling with that trauma and fighting to just get the opportunity at 107 to actually petition for something to happen. Like, that's Black excellence. So shout out to her. That's amazing. Right, I'll go. Speaking of more Black excellence, we talked about, I believe in our last Trending Convos episode, about the illustrious Felicia Rashad being named as the dean of the fine arts program at Howard University. Then Howard University has recently announced that the fine arts building will be named after the College of Fine Arts building will be named after one of their great alums, the now deceased Chadwick Boseman. Apparently, after Chadwick died, there was a change.org petition that was asking Howard's president and board of trustees to name the school after him. I was like, yeah, it was about 5,800 signatures. They were, you know, very ambitious goals, but hey, we can all dream. But I think naming the Fine Arts Building is a lot more fitting than the entire school. But apparently Walt Disney Company is they would be leading the fundraising to build a new facility as well as establish an endowment in Chadwick's name. So I think that's amazing what Howard is doing in terms of having Felicia Rashad leading in that department, but also honoring Chadwick in that manner.
But it's not just the building, it's like
the whole college. The
College of Fine Arts is
named after him, yeah. So that is great news. My next piece of news is, so the NBA, the induction to the NBA Hall of Fame just happened within the last couple weeks. Kobe, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, and some other people. And, oh my gosh, I am blanking out on her name, Tamika. No, it wasn't even Tamika Catchings. Yeah, so they all were some of the inductees, but apparently there was another inductee who became the first ever, so a fan got inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame. This man's name is Nav Bhatia. He's considered a super fan for the Toronto Raptors. He's been to every single home game at the Raptors stadium since 1995. And his story is really great about him. You know, he was an immigrant to Canada and how he had an engineering degree, couldn't get jobs because he was Middle Eastern, wore a turban, all that stuff. And he ended up working as a car salesman, breaking a record of selling like 70 plus cars in 90 days, a record that still stands in Canada. And he's gone on to now own several car dealerships and millionaire, all that. So he started going to Toronto Raptors games, has even started, has a foundation that sends kids, diverse kids, to basketball games, which is intentional because he wants diversity and people to interact with each other that are from different walks of life. And he understands the unifying force of sports. But he got inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame, got a ring, everything. When the Raptors won the championship in, was it 2019? He got a ring for it as well. So this dude is like legit. He's like paving the way potentially for future super fans of NBA teams to get inducted into the NBA Hall of Fame.
For rich super fans to be inducted.
For, yes, rich super fans, which I'm surprised Spike Lee didn't get something, because that man faithfully.
That's what, when you said that, yeah. I was thinking that. I was like, has Spike missed the game?
Yeah.
Or outfit with coordinating glasses?
Come on. I think Spike definitely has missed games, but Spike is a pretty, like, he's a force and a presence at Knicks game, but I don't think he's been to every single home game as long as this guy, I don't believe. But I thought that was super cool. I didn't even know that that was even an option. But I think it's also to the philanthropic work he does in conjunction with the NBA that probably aids in that as well.
As well as his money.
Yes.
I mean, because let's just be real. Most people can't even afford to go to every single game. Like, I mean, come on.
Most people can't afford to go to one game. So, especially courtside. So, but I thought that was really cool nonetheless. So, shout out to him and his money. Yeah.
and the opportunities it has created for him.
My last piece of news. So, I want to shout out one of my dear friends, Miss Jewel Burke Solomon, as well as her partners, Justin Dawkins and Barry Givens, who are the leaders of Collab Capital. They just closed on a $50 million first fund to invest in Black innovators. So Jewel and her partners, their whole goal is to target the wealth gap, specifically in the African-American community and the Black community in America, and specifically investing in startups that are disproportionately receive funds when it comes to, like, when they're sourcing and trying to get their funds. Jewel started a company called Partpick that eventually got acquired by Amazon, but she talks about the barriers that she had to overcome as a Black woman, raising money for a startup, pitching to companies, not getting invested in as a Black woman and as a minority. And even their company Collab, they had pushback when they were asking for investors to invest in what they were doing, wanting them to not just focus on the Black community, but make it more diverse. And shout out to them for sticking to their guns and saying no. This is our mission. This is our target. This is what we're hoping to see. So they just hit a huge goal. One of the top Black investment companies that is going to, in there, I believe, already starting to invest. They have 50 companies that they're going to invest in, with checks ranging from $250,000 to $750,000. And they also have about 30% of the fund that's going to go towards, like, second round investments. So shout out to them, like, people that are proactively finding a way to address the disparities when it comes to finances and wealth in the Black community. So I just want to shout them out because that's huge.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome.
I'll go next. Just got a little news for y'all. Did y'all see that Bank of America is going to raise its minimum wage to $25 by 2025? So I don't know what? It didn't specify the positions or whatever, but I'm like, oh, the little bank, did the bank tell us gonna get $25 an hour? That's more than the federally proposed plan that Biden has proposed, where it's $15 an hour. So that's awesome. The CEO, he says it's it's a huge investment, but he believes it's about maintaining a great standard of living for his teammates. So y'all in 2025. Thank God, America, you get your little $25 money. And then I'm also interested. Also, living
going to be crazy again.
I don't know. But then that, like, provide people who choose not to seek professional degrees or aren't in tech, like, you can graduate from high school and have a living wage versus getting $8.25, or I don't know how much that makes Bank of America. Yeah. I thought that was cool.
And honestly, like, the banking world and the bank track, that's like a very lucrative track for someone who chooses not to go to college.
Yeah.
Like, I know working in banking, there were tons of people who had just started as a teller, worked their way up through the bank, just, you know, being promoted internally, but they started as a teller with no sort of degree, trained on the job, and worked their way up in the bank to much, much higher. Like, well, banks have like a ton of AVPs and all those random titles, but yeah, people that you would be like, oh, I would naturally assume that, like, you went to a four-year university, you have a degree and all of these things. And it's just like, no. So that's really awesome, because that's already a really good and potentially lucrative track for someone without a degree. So it's really awesome that you can start in that track making that much money, especially if it's nationwide. Because, I mean, $25 an hour will go a lot further in Arkansas than it will in San Francisco. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have one more piece of news. I don't know if you guys have seen, but J. Cole, he is currently living his hoop dream. He is now part of the Basketball Africa League, the BAL. But everyone doesn't think he's deserving of his current position. He's on the Rwanda's Patriots Basketball Club. Kika may mess up this guy's name if you know basketball, so I'm assuming you know him. His name is Terrell Stoglin. You know, is that his name? I don't know who he plays for.
I heard about his commentary.
But basically, he spoke to ESPN and he said he feels like J. Cole's position could have been gone to someone he feels deserves it, and called his presence in the league disrespectful to the game. Now, the chief operations officer has spoke against this and said, you know, J. Cole's addition to the team was a basketball decision. We put together a team that we think can win the championship. They have 20 players that are ready to compete, but the final roster could only be 13. So they made a decision, which they believe was a basketball decision. So Terrell, like, you taking opportunities from other people who live in the hood and this is their way out. You already made it because you got your money. But J. Cole also already, he can't just want to play basketball and want to accomplish this dream. Do y'all think J. Cole is wrong for going out for the African Basketball League and playing on the team and taking someone else's spot?
I don't know how J. Cole made the team. I watched J. Cole play, and no shade, he ain't that great. But I wouldn't go as far as saying he's robbing anyone, especially if he actually, like, tried out. Now, if it was just kind of a, you know, he worked his way in through, you know, rubbing elbows with folks or shoulders or whatever that saying is, then that's different. But it's it's somewhat of a fair argument in the sense that J. Cole actually was only under a 3-game contract. So he's at his career is actually done with the VAL. Like he's done. So yeah. So and I'm sure that further kind of adds fuel to the fire of that conversation and that argument of you couldn't even commit to the entire season. So now that spot could have gone to someone else, which I don't know if they're replacing him or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I can understand if you're a professional player and you're trying to find an opportunity and this opportunity comes about. It's already because the way the teams are set up, they are allowing for, I think, 2 non citizens of whatever the respective country is to play. So you can recruit outside in like American players to come. So if J. Cole takes the spot of somebody that is in a, you know, G League or a lower non-NBA team, then I can see how that's frustrating. I wouldn't go as far as discrediting him solely because I don't know the process. Maybe that guy knows the process of how he got on and that's why he's upset. But yeah, I was very surprised when I heard that Jermaine was going to be playing on the team. And I watched them play and, you know, somebody else probably could have taken his spot, but I don't know. I don't know how he got that position, but shout out to him though.
But also, like, how many people are talking about this league that absolutely would not have even heard of it if J. Cole was
absolutely
playing?
I had no idea. I wouldn't
have heard of it or cared if J. Cole was not playing. So overall, J. Cole playing is probably better off for the longevity of the league.
Yeah.
And that's giving way more people opportunities to play.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair argument. Because folks was definitely like, yo, how can I get that Cole jersey? So yeah, I agree. And I think that it definitely was a strategic PR move because even for the Rwandan team, whenever they post on their page or when the BAL posts on their page announcing, J. Cole he's in the promo videos. He's the picture they showed. This man scored maybe a total of 5 points the whole time, these 3 games, but it probably played all of 10 minutes. And I think 8 of them was in that first game I watched, but he is the face of it. And of like you say, Drea, mm-hmm. they're going to, I mean, capitalize on it. So for them to, this is an inaugural thing. They're launching something. Do what you got to do to get people invested. So.
And then if you're not making that same argument to players who have played in the NBA and made tons of money and then later in their career go and play overseas, it's like, I mean, they played, they made millions. Aren't they taking a spot from somebody? They already have money. I mean, is fair, it disrespectful fair. Of them to go play overseas?
Most people don't think that long term. They don't flesh out their arguments. But
yeah. I
saw that and
choice.
I just thought he was angry.
Yeah, I was like, man, you upset. I thought it was a good. I had no idea what the BAL was. I was like, when did this league exist? I didn't know that. So hey, I didn't watch the game though. I don't even know what channel to come on. But I'm aware of what
you gotta watch
is.
It online.
Oh, okay. So I think it's a great choice.
Okay, so that leaves me. So I'm gonna start off with none other than Simone Biles. I mean, surely we have all. Well, I don't know if we have all, but I know it was all over my social media. The fact that she has become the first woman to land the Yurchenko double pike in a competition. And so I'm not a gymnast. If you haven't seen it, go look up the clip because I don't want to like inaccurately describe what it is that she did. But I mean, not only was I very impressed that she is doing something that no woman has ever done before in competition, but I'm impressed that she's doing it at her age. Mm-hmm. She is 24.
Yeah, 24.
She's 24 years old, which honestly, I don't really know any gymnast that after winning gold in the Olympics continue to compete at that level.
Yeah.
Most of them, like, that is the pinnacle of their career. They may do some little endorsements after that, but they're not competing as gymnasts anymore. So for her to have, like, been there, done that, but still be at the top of her game at that level is completely insane. And, I mean, because it was just last year that she did some move? It was on the floor competition that
is named after her because she's like made it up, essentially. No one had ever done that before. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I just think that that's awesome and a testament to just sheer dedication that she would even still be living the lifestyle to be able to maintain that level of ability at her age. Like, that's do y'all know of anybody else that's still gymnasts that, I mean, still competed that long?
There are some, but not in America. But I think America's, like, I think our system is different because there are some that, like, I know Great Britain has some, like, 35-plus, there was a 41-year-old woman that was still an Olympic gymnast, but not in America, for sure.
Well, Dominique Dawson did until she was 24.
Like, that's a rarity.
Oh, Dominique Dawson, she was older. I remember that now.
She was what?
She was 24. 24,
I think.
But I think that was her cutoff, too. I think she won.
But, and honestly, even if you... You can't compare them to because
they are great.
Simone Biles is still doing first. Like,
yeah. I kind of mouthed it, but I ain't really. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, Simone is still doing first. Simone is still like competing at the top of her game. And if you're talking about Dominique, who went out at 24, we're talking about Simone Biles at 24 still doing something that nobody has done before. I mean,
that's different.
Because again, I would say the peak of Dominique Dawes' career was like the 96 Olympics.
I agree.
She may have been competing after that, but again, I'm no gymnastic enthusiast. I mean, she might have been doing some stuff that was before social media and maybe just wasn't nobody talking about it.
That's fair.
But I mean,
what we do know is that she didn't do this thing that Simone just did.
Because ain't nobody ever did that before.
That's true.
And she ain't do the thing she did last year either. Because it's named after her. She's the first person to do that too.
This is true.
Okay, so I have one more story. CNN released a report that was talking about that the rise in ticket prices universally across airlines, and while there hasn't been a huge increase in business travel and in international travel, there has been a drastic influx of domestic leisure travel over the past few months. And as a result, plane ticket prices are at pre-pandemic levels or even above pre-pandemic levels. The prices have, they've soared. Like, if you want to take a little trip, hope you save some coins. But if you did not, airlines have come up with another option for you. United, Delta, and even American Airlines are offering buy now, pay later plane ticket payment options. Have y'all heard about this?
You can put your ticket on layaway.
You got that on layaway. You can. And what do y'all have thoughts on this?
I could see that not working out too well for folks who just don't manage their funds well, or, you know, folks be buying stuff just to, like, stunt. So I can't imagine you buying a plane ticket to stunt and, like, is there a certain amount of time you have to pay? Do you have to pay a certain amount of, like, how does, I always see, like, that whole afterpay things when you go buy stuff. It's like, you can do 4 payments of $2.25, which I'm always like, it's $2.25. But, like, I never have actually done one of them to know how it works in terms of when you have to pay. But that just sounds real tricky. Like, folks is going to be flying all around the world not realizing you still got to pay for that. Like, it's a credit card. Like,
well, I don't know the details of how they're all set up. I know one American Airlines, it'll allow you to split your payment into four installments over 6 weeks. I don't know if it, because if it's layaway, you got to pay before they give you your stuff.
Yeah.
Like you make payments over time, and then when you finish payment, that's when they give you your merchandise. Mm. So if it's your trip is 6 months from now, you got to have this paid off before you are allowed to board, then I think that that's actually really beneficial, because mm-hmm. I mean, you can go through a travel agent, you can put any other aspect of a trip on a payment plan.
Yeah,
you know, that's true. When people plan trips, you can pay in installments. So I think that that's great that you would be able to do that for airline as well. But also, I'm not even mad at it if you don't finish paying until after you're done. Well,
I am. Well, I am, because, yeah. And I'm going to tell you why. Here's why. I would be more accepting of the pay before you go and do the payment before. I still am a little iffy about it, though. But if you do the, we book it and then you pay later, do you know what prices are going to do? They're going to keep going up because more people are able, and the right. more people, I don't know if they able, but more people going they gonna go on trips, mm-hmm. and demand for flights is gonna go up because you don't have to pay for it immediately. Mm-hmm. I ain't here for that, cause
I mean, I'm not here for it in the aspect of that it negatively affects the amount that I'm gonna have to spend to fly, but also I think that it is good in the aspect that it opens up opportunities to people who otherwise would not have those opportunities.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. To the extent that it is done responsibly.
Yes.
Sure. That's true. And I mean, and even if it's done irresponsibly, it was still an opportunity that you otherwise wouldn't have had. I mean,
it is, but then what are you doing? What do you have to do in order? What? For a temporary moment of enjoyment, what does your life look like when you made an impulse decision that you couldn't actually? Because I mean, that's the same thing for like cars, where cars are put on these 7 to 9 to 10 year payment plans, where mm-hmm. people are able to experience cars that they would not have been able to experience otherwise. But is that actually a wise decision to make? So to the extent that, and I'm speaking as if the prices are continuing to rise, because that's what I see happening. If mm-hmm. it's at a level of, you know, we just click and we think about it later. At what expense are you making these decisions on the, like, how is it impacting you on the back end? But, I mean,
I agree, but I think people who are financially irresponsible are going to be financially irresponsible unless they are in some way taught to not be financially responsible. So whether they have the ability to click and buy a ticket and never pay for it, or whether they buy cars that they never pay for, I mean, if there is not a mindset change to some degree, or broader knowledge of money management to some degree, I mean, it don't really matter. I just don't right.
just lock them like, out of this one so that it don't impact me. That one, I'm like,
that's a great concept, though.
But yeah, I mean, I'm interested to see what the how it actually works out, like what the actual stipulations are. Well, I'm not interested to see. I'm not going to be putting, like, it's all a trap.
Just yep, it is.
Make wise choices with your finances.
Well, that's all we have for you guys this week. We will see you guys next time.
Bye. Bye.